They Sought Love. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1876. I think you are the most beautiful woman in the world, the most enchanting, the most bewitching.
Please. Selina Staunton tried to silence her admirer, although she found it hard not to laugh. The Marquis of Delane was a well-meaning young man, and there was no doubting his sincerity, but nature had created him the wrong shape for passionate declarations.
"Don't say any more," Selina begged. "We should return to the ballroom, lest people notice our absence and talk."
"But I haven't finished," he said determinedly, "and I want them to talk. Let them speak of our engagement."
"There is no engagement."
"But there will be, if you will allow me to say what I am trying to say."
"Very well," Selina agreed, resigning but also sorry for him. Of all of her suitors, he was the richest and the most high-born. It was such a pity that she could not fall in love with him. Taking a deep breath, the Marquis sank down on one knee. He was evidently determined to make his proposal properly, and even cast a surreptitious look at a scrap of paper hastily pulled out from his pocket.
"My dear Miss Staunton, I offer you my hand and my heart. Only be mine, and you will be the mistress of Delane Castle."
Behind him, the door of the little anteroom opened, and Lady Keller, hostess of the ball they were attending, looked in. But as soon as she saw what was happening, she retreated hastily. Selina sighed and braced herself to hear out the rest of the saga. Finally, the Marquis took out a diamond ring with a huge stone and tried to put it on her finger, but she hastily clenched her hand.
"Forgive me, my lord, but I am unable to accept your flattering offer."
"You cannot mean that."
"But I do. I am not sufficiently highly born to be the wife of a Marquis. My father was merely the younger son of a baronet."
"A fig for these quibbles," he cried dramatically. "True love conquers all, and my mamma is quite reconciled. That is, she is overjoyed at my choice of bride."
Selina, who had met the Marquis's redoubtable mother, choked back her laughter and replied in a quivering voice,
"I am honoured by her ladyship's approval, sir, but I cannot change my decision."
"There is another man," he screamed at once. "But he does not love you as I do."
"There is no other man," she said firmly, "but I am unable to return your feelings. And now, sir, I insist on returning to the ballroom, as I do not wish to be the object of gossip."
But that was a faint hope, she realized, as she escaped him. Lady Keller was a kind woman and a good friend, but she was incapable of keeping what she had seen to herself. Her return caused a stir, for all of the young ladies who danced and flirted their way through the London season, she was the most in demand. This caused much heartburning amongst her rivals, for she was certainly not the best-looking, nor the most highly born, nor the wealthiest, nor the youngest. But what right, they asked, did Miss Selina Staunton deserve a marquis at her feet, eager to shower his wealth on her, despite her own comparative lack of fortune? For she was 25 years old, well past her best, worth a mere £20,000, and should call herself lucky to ensnare even a baronet. She was not precisely plain, but her features lacked that certain something that was real beauty. Nature had given her intelligence, and her face reflected it. Her chin was neat and firm, her nose dainty and decided. Her eyes were certainly lovely, being large and deep blue, but it was what lay hidden in the depths of those eyes that enchanted her admirers. A sharp wit and a roguish charm lurked there, making men seek her company while other lovelier damsels remained wallflowers.